Well, they may be able to tinker with it anyway.
Yes. This is an interview with Evan Williams, also known as Snow Williams, on Saturday, 11th of October, 2014. The interview is for the Canterbury History Foundation, funded by the 2014 Canterbury Community History Award. The interviewer is Kim Newth. The interview is being recorded at 5 Corbett Crescent at the Anthony Wilding Retirement Village in Christchurch. The interviewer will also be taking shorthand notes during this interview. This is file number F003. Okay, so I wanted to turn now to Burnham when you turned 20. So tell me what happened when you turned 20 and what you decided to do.
Well, the decisions were taken out of my hands anyway. I was called up to go into Burnham. I went into Burnham, I think, now January 1945. And I think I've made the comment, and it's only a comment, I was a pretty old soldier by the time I got to Burnham. I'll tell you a funny thing. When they marched us in and we'd had our blankets and meal and we'd had our sleep, the next day nobody seemed to want to know anything about us in the hut. So, with my experience, I lined up the guys in the hut and marched them out to the training area, and we sat and smoked and yarned, and I had a lovely time. Went back to the Church Army hut, had morning tea, and did this for a couple of days before they seemed to realise that we were supposed to be there, but we weren't. Where the hell were we? Nothing bad came of it.
No, That's funny that, isn't it? So the hut where you were staying, that was sort of on the camp, was it?
Oh, yes.
Right, yeah. And how many people were in
20.
That? 20, right, okay. So you'd all come up together from South
No, we were a mixture of just odd bods, yeah.
Right, okay. And, so it was a funny kind of induction, wasn't it? So no one actually met you at the time or...?
Oh, yeah, we were met at the railway station and we were marched into camp.
And then pretty much left alone.
I don't know why they...
Were you given a service number at that time or...?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah, so what can you remember that number or what the number is?
You'll never, ever forget
Never forget it.
639-543.
And that stayed with you. From then on. Yeah. So from what you've told me previously, I gather you fairly quickly became a part of the camp instruction staff, possibly because of the work you've been doing at the start there too. So how did that?
I was a couple of months. doing fatigues and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did an NCO course at Southern District School of Instruction. And I don't know, by June, July, I could have a look in my pay book. I passed out of school as a corporal and I was on camp instruction staff.
You told me that, so that was your corporal by within 3 months, weren't you?
Yes.
June 1945.
You've got it.
Yeah. So that was a fairly
rapid
promotion, wasn't it? Really. So I guess it was that. Yeah, Home Guard service at a.
I'm a just general background.
Yes.
Know?
Yeah.
And dare I say it, it might have been some. Natural ability.
So some of the young men coming in were fairly clueless, were they?
just society.
Yeah. So between February 1945 and VE Day and then VJ Day, how many men would you have trained, do you think, or how were you training them?
Well,
and for what?
I was an infantry trainer, weapon trainer, physical trainer. A lot of work was done on the parade ground. A lot of work was done with weapons. I was quite satisfied with the way it was working out.
And the I think you mentioned that these were like final reinforcements that were being sent out. So where were these men going, if you know what I mean?
Well, once they'd finished their basic training, they'd be allocated to battalions. or specialist units.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know then.
Right. Yeah. So some of them would have been mostly around the Pacific, I guess, by that stage. They would have been going to. Yeah.
Well, no. The 15th went to Italy. 15th reinforced. I'm not quite sure where they went.
Yeah, but I think you said it was the 14th, 15th, 16th.
Yeah.
And they were like for Canterbury regiments or something, were they? Or
no, these were the general public and called in a camp.
Right.
None of them had any necessary background.
No, yeah.
Canterbury regiment or...
No, yes. And so you were still very, very young at this stage, so I guess the question is how were you able to establish your authority and command? I mean, that must have been quite challenging at times, I imagine.
Oh, I'd passed out of charm school. It wasn't easy, but if your line of attack doesn't work one way, then you have to change it. So we had used different tactics with different people.
And so some people it would be gentler approach than others, I guess. And you learn how to read that stuff, I guess.
Well, they also had to learn a bit about me too. And they found after time that the disciplinarian was a different person. At different times.
And was there anyone who assisted you? You know, were you given help to kind of in that, or advice about how to do that stuff, or pretty much learning on the job, I guess?
Chucked in the deep end.
Yes, yeah. And so, what was life at camp like? Like, you know.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Can't be much more to. To cough up.
So you would have had a different. You would have had a proper army uniform then, at that stage.
Oh, Lord, yes. I was then a regular soldier.
And in terms of where you ate and slept, was it?
Nothing changed.
No. Where you went when you first arrived, did you basically stay there at that?
Oh no, barracks? I mean, there were different
barracks or whatever. Yeah,
different blocks.
Different blocks. Yeah. So the typical day, did it start pretty early?
Well, if I was on duty then and had to get the guys up for a valley, probably 5:30. And Had to get the guys out of bed, feet on the floor and moving, shaved, cleaned up, breakfast, parade for meals.
Right, yeah. So that some of them would have been a bit reluctant to get out of bed at 5:30.
To jump forward to people going to Japan, we marched a team from the railway station up to the barracks and got them settled with bedding and so on, had a meal.
Yeah.
I went round the next morning to get them up, and there was one hut, not a soul moved.
Yeah.
Not a soul. And I'd learnt that the best way to get people moving was to pick on the leader or the big bloke, the one who's likely to cause trouble, and get him out of bed first. So I'd picked on this big bloke, a bit like a mountain toilet, and tossed his bed over, and out he fell. and his jockeys, and he was big. I thought he was going to kill me. And the rest of the hut got up, and I told him to get moving. And I didn't see him again for a couple of days, but he turned up quite strangely. I was marching into the orderly room. There was a pair of brown boots on the top step. I looked up. And it was this guy that I'd tossed out of bed, and he was an officer.
Oh, no.
God, I'm in trouble. So we nodded, and I worked for him for 10 years later on in life. He was president of Canterbury Hotel Association.
It's a funny story. That was the morning you had to, they were all being marched off to the head off to Japan.
That was early. Before Japan.
Oh, before Japan. That incident of trying to get everyone up. Yeah. So the men there, I mean, as you were saying, they were just members of the public, really. Yeah. So were they, you know, were they willing fighters, you know, or reluctant, or, you know, I mean... What was their attitude like by that? Because I guess with it being near the end of the war too, they would have...
Funny. Attitudes are a strange thing in soldiers. You've got the guy who goes in and is willing to learn. others who are going to have the system on. Others who don't want to be there. And you've got people who got there by strange means. Some of the blokes that marched in had been in prison, and they were told that if they did their year in Japan, that would be the end of their sentence. So we had a few hard cases. And managing them was quite a bit of a problem. They weren't any real difficulty. The guys that I had difficulty with were the ones who wouldn't shower and wouldn't shave and wouldn't get haircuts and...
You're okay to carry on? Yeah. The ones who just didn't look after themselves properly, in other words.
Yeah. But we overcame that.
Yeah.
Many of them end up in the water race. They got a share, all right.
Was there a water race spot at camp?
Yeah.
Just chuck them in there. Mm. Yeah.
I didn't have to do that.
No.
The other guys did.
Yes. I think we talked, you know, the other day about that strange thing of, you know, yeah, knowing that you were training men to kill must have been a an odd thing at times, but I guess it's a factor of those times, though, isn't it? It's
Yeah. It wasn't so odd. Until I met my wife, and she'd been trained to be a nurse.
Mm.
So she'd been trained to nurture and care for and look after dying people at a very early age. And that was what I was, I'd already been trained to kill.
Yes.
And to meet her nursing friends and to understand the empathy that they had for each other. And recognise that same empathy that we had as soldiers for each other.
Mm. Yes. There you going? Yeah. Yeah.
I hope I'm not stuffing this up.
No, it's okay. We're still getting enough. Yeah.
So, my realisation about that might have to stop.
Yeah, yeah, let's stop again for a wee while. Yeah.